Because it's a boy. Now, I'm a huge fan of the Smarty Pants comments, but, well, no, despite the fact that that is gender stereotyping, birth announcement, logic, it isn't really why the stoles and chasubles and other paraments that adorn churches this liturgical time of the year are blue. There is, though, and I found out that Rob kind of explained this to you last week, a fascinating liturgical story behind the meaning that involves a royal purple and a darker shade of these blues. But that would lead us off topic so early in the sermon, and I won't do that to you today. But the color blue as a birth announcement of a new arrival is an interesting idea. In the second Sunday of Advent, where we find John the Baptizer, son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, belting out a royal proclamation into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Prepare the way of the Lord. God is on the way. And so is repentance. Now, repentance is a scary word, at least I think so. It's the kind of word that that guy on the street corner written on his placard might have. Repent. Change your ways. Because whatever you're doing it wrong. Imagine if it were John standing there on the street corner today in his eccentric and disheveled prophet clothes, eating strange things and yelling with all the grace and eloquence of a madman. And quite confidently calling us all to repentance. Who is this guy? Not exactly someone with cachet and credibility, is he? Not exactly someone the status quo would take seriously, but really, who is this guy in our day and our time? Proclaiming a curiously cryptic message about urgently turning things around. A message that upsets our comfortable routines. A message that would be easier to ignore. Now, could he be that woman of the Me Too movement? Could he be a climate change scientist? Or maybe he's that mother that we all saw in that photo, crying out as she carries her diapered toddler across the border by foot. Yet we wonder, as we look at this guy on the sidewalk with his sign, if we should ignore him. Maybe the word repentance is one of those kind of words that needs some unpacking. Now, I'm just in my first year of ministry, but I can already tell you I have a lot of books. One of my favorite books is a book called Crazy Talk. The Not-So-Stuffy Dictionary of Theological Terms. And it defines repentance like this. Repentance is the change in a person's behavior that follows recognition of having sinned and immediately precedes further sinning. Not super helpful. Theologian Martin Luther says that the entire life of the believer should be one of repentance. Thomas Cranmer says that we repent in the spirit of God's gracious love that inspires our grateful human love. While the liturgical color of Advent has shifted in many Christian traditions from purple, symbolizing repentance, to blue, which symbolizes hope, this theme of repentance alongside hope helps us to reinforce the distinction between merely preparing for Christmas and preparing for God. Preparing for God. Now that is quite the birth announcement. In reading the impressive political roll call that opens our Luke text for today, you'd think that if God was going to make an appearance here among us mere mortals, that the announcement would come from the midst of any one of these impressive people. You want to get the word out? You got to get a big name to deliver the message. But no, consistent to what we know about God becoming flesh comes via an unlikely source. Bearing little pedigree, this royal announcement is bestowed upon a disheveled nobody in the middle of nowhere, like really nowhere, like wilderness nowhere. And John mobilizes, taking this invitation of God to as many people in the areas around the Jordan that would listen. Prepare the way for a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. And so we and all of Christendom enter a time of preparation. And isn't that what we hear and see all around us at this time of the year? Preparation. As in all the things we get caught up in to signify that we really care about this time of year. Baking and shopping and cleaning and cooking. Preparation as in concerts and parties and other things that fill all the squares on the calendar. Yet these things, as special and as significant as they might be, they're simultaneously preparing. There are others that are simultaneously preparing to deal with tensions of family. I mean, while some of us are doing all these fun cooking and baking things, there are others of us that are preparing to get through another Christmas while everyone around us has it all together. Preparing for a season of giving when you can't afford to give anything worthwhile and maybe you don't even feel like it. Because, well, maybe there isn't an exact reason that can be prepared on the fly to neatly sum up the pain when others ask, what's wrong? In this second Sunday of Advent, John is announcing that a birth is on the way and there are things that need to be done before this baby arrives, because this isn't an ordinary baby. This is a fulfillment of an ancient covenant that God has made with God's people. The arrival of a Messiah who will save the world. There's a lot at stake here. There was a lot at stake for the post-exilic community of Malachi, too. People clinging in hope to the promise of the arrival of a messenger who would transform them as they returned to life in a restored temple of Jerusalem. Were they waiting for the same messenger as in the Luke text? Scholarship is inconclusive. But aren't we also people today that are clinging to hope? What's at stake for us today as a world, as a community, as family? What's at stake for us personally? Does the invitation to repent scare us? Does it seem insurmountable, or can we see it as an invitation? I mean, after all, the birth of Christ isn't something that happens without us, remember? In our baptism, our lives are grafted to the life and death and resurrection of Christ. So we are in this. So how on earth do we prepare for that? I doubt that it's high chairs and strollers. I doubt that it's baking or caroling. I doubt that it's pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps and pulling our socks up in the same time. Whatever this repentance thing means, I guess we better figure it out. Just like John the Baptizer's counter-cultural announcement and Christ's counter-cultural reign, all of humankind is invited into this countercultural birth. Now, of all the fancy theological words that I ever learned at seminary, and I learned a lot of them, I think my favorite word is metanoia. Metanoia. Metanoia is God relentlessly and lovingly turning us back towards God. Now, sin, which is another fascinating word, one of my favorite words, is the act of turning away or turning inwards away from God. navel-gazing, self-interest, and pretending that our worth can be generated from our actions and not God's. Turning inwards always means turning away from God and away from humanity, from all life around us, looking out for number one and forgetting who actually comes first in our lives, God, which, by the way, is the first and second commandment, as you know. But what I find most delightful about God is the tenacity of God's love. God is very aware that we as humans fall short. We miss the mark of God's vision for humanity. Yet God is constantly forgiving us and drawing us back so lovingly towards God as we wait for and participate in the kingdom of heaven now and not yet. And what do? Well, just like the definition in the book Crazy Talk, we proceed to sin again. It's how we're wired. We're sinful people, and I am sorry to point that out, especially during a time of year that's supposed to be festive. A message of repentance is pretty awkward at the staff Christmas party. I guess that's why I don't get invited to many parties. But what does God do about our tendency to turn in on ourselves? God continues to love us and forgive us and draw us close. It's heartbreakingly beautiful if you really think about it. We need God's salvation. The world needs God's salvation. So how on earth do we prepare for that? Well, here's the crazy thing. We don't. God is preparing us. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, reminds us today that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Not only is God preparing us for the salvation of the world through Christ, but we are fully invited and expected to participate in it. In fact, we've been lovingly and relentlessly prepared with gifts to do just that. Everybody has been. And how are we living into this invitation of repentance here? This invitation as the people of God to be turned by God outwards towards God and towards the world. Because this is what we are freed for. This is the whole point. Now, repentance isn't a scary word that means change your ways or else. Repentance is the relentless and refining process that God has with our hearts as we meet God and are turned outwards by God. It is when God draws us close through our baptism, in the bread and in the wine and in the hearing of the word that is made flesh among us. We are refined, we are made full, we are awakened and made whole. Equipped to join in the preparation, equipped to be free to participate in God's holy justice, God's loving preparation for the salvation of the world in bold ways that could involve chains and trees and prosecution and legal fines, or in subtle ways that involve courageously forgiving that which has been hurtful. In the quiet hope of Advent, this is the birth that we anticipate. This message does not come from the credible rulers and authorities of the world, but from a person unexpected, crying out from the wilderness, that a birth is on the way, and through it is our invitation to our own new birth into wholeness and freedom. To receive God's love and to share it outwards with the world. To live fully free and fully grateful, free to heal, to trust, free to be generous, free to accompany the suffering, to advocate and ally for the poor and the oppressed, free to share God's love, to to be moved to act in God's justice, to encourage one another, to spread joy. Prepare the way of the Lord indeed. It is the way. It is the way that the world needs. In this time and in this place, more than ever. Let it be so.